to Where Brains Meet Beauty, hosted by Jody Katz, founder and creative director of Base Beauty Creative Agency.
Hello, Where Brains Meet Beauty listeners. Today I'm joined by our VP Client Success, Eleni. Hello there, Eleni.
Hi, Jody. Happy February, listeners and everyone.
Oh, it's like Valentine's mood everywhere I go. I even bought dog treats that look like little like love cookies.
Absolutely. It's a lot of fun for marketing.
Before we jump into today's episode, let's take a moment to talk about some really fun client work that we just did with our client, Clara, in honor of Black History Month and our heritage platform.
We hosted this event at Rooster Harlem and brought together influencers and creators for an evening that felt really thoughtful, celebratory, and culturally rooted.
I love the activities at an event. Whenever I throw my own parties, I always have an activity. So there was vision board creation, a fragrance workshop that I think is so cool because they pulled out the notes of the fragrance that's actually in the hair color, which is such a nice detail. Amazing food, of course, meaningful conversation, and every design element was to feel immersive and intentional.
It's an incredible program. This is our fourth time running an event like this for Clairol, and it's centered around culture and community with an intimate in-person event as the anchor, and we then amplify it across Clairol's social channels and their creator communities.
And the team, they're all in for these programs from concepting, event planning, influencer outreach, creator strategy, social content, so we're able to extend the story beyond the event itself.
Yeah, and I think that's what we do really well at Base Beauty. We help brands show up at the center of culture by creating moments like this that live both in real life and then across their digital communities.
So let's segue to today's episode. This is the first episode of our new year, ninth year of recording. We're in the 300s of numbers of episodes. And the theme is power duos. And we picked this theme because we thought it'd be so fun to actually interview people who work together daily and understand the dynamic of working together and how that fuels success. So first up is Blair Lancer. She's a CMO, and Daniela De Los Santos. She's a global education director at Lancer Skincare.
It was an amazing conversation. You will hear these guests talk about how collaboration sparks creativity, innovation, and success for the whole team.
So I, being someone who loves therapy, got the duo to get into a conversation with me about how they fill their tank based on learnings I had in my own therapy sessions about how introverts and extroverts need to decompress and fill up their tanks differently. So this is a really fun conversation that Blair and Daniela collaborated with me on and seem to have fun themselves. So listen for that.
Yeah, some great tips for everyone. And if anyone wants to check out any of the products discussed in today's episode, head to lancerskincare.com. Let's get into episode 302 with Blair Lancer and Daniela De Los Santos from Lancer Skincare.
Welcome, ladies, to our first Power Duos theme. I'm here, all things Lancer Skincare, with Blair Lancer, CMO, and Daniela De Los Santos, Global Education Director. Welcome, ladies, to Where Brains Meet Beauty.
Thank you.
We're happy to be here.
So we are on a very cold, windy day in New York City, and just getting here was tough. So tell me a little bit about your commute. We'll start with you, Blair.
I try to walk as much as I can. So I walked here in the snow and no complaints. Although I was frozen when I walked in.
But and Daniela?
I flew from LA yesterday. Yeah. So big change in weather for sure. And I was telling Blair when we came in here, like, how do you live here? It's so cold. I was like rolling my luggage across the snow. But it's great. I love New York City and it's wonderful to be here.
So we're going to dive deep into career journey and what it's like to work together. But I want to start on a different topic, which is sharing news about Lancer with the world. So Daniela, you go on QVC and you present the brand often. Tell me about what it's like to be in front of a camera talking about the ingredients, the claims, and the consumer.
I think what's really special about it is even though I don't have a live audience per se in front of me, I still feel very connected to the customer. It's a moment where we can really educate, where we can show her or him why you need to be careful with your skin, why, you know, certain ingredients are appropriate, how to use the formula. Kind of take that confusion out of it, and you really just feel like you're chatting with your mom or your best friend through the camera. So it's really a wonderful and unique position to be in for sure.
And Blair, what opportunities do you have to be in front of the consumer or an audience like this?
So predominantly, I would say everything is on social media, which is somewhat new to me. I became a secondary face for the brand about a year ago. So it's new to me. I'm learning, but a lot of that work.
And how do you feel about being in that role?
I really enjoy it, more so than I thought I would. I think I was a little bit nervous to start, but it's been really nice, and I think we're really starting to build a community. I am on my own as well as through the Lancer channel, so I think the opportunity to be able to speak to people directly is very unique.
So, Blair, I am in a funny position because I have this podcast for 9 years now, and I consider myself a reluctant influencer. Does that resonate with you at all?
You know what? Maybe a little bit at the beginning, but like I said, I'm really starting to love it. And it's funny because sometimes I'll get comments that might be a little bit critical, but I actually enjoy those because I learn a lot about myself. And I actually like, I try to make them positive, and it's helped my journey. So no complaints.
Okay. What's an example of a critical comment?
I don't know. People just say like the way I speak. A lot of people say that like, I pause sometimes, or like the way I talk, it's so funny. I don't even notice it, but yeah, I get it, and I'm working on it. So
I don't think you have anything to work
on. Yeah,
it's so funny. Be yourself. Thank you.
I agree.
I take things like that as a compliment. So yeah. I've had this show for 9 years, and I don't know, after a couple of years on the Apple Podcasts page, you can put reviews, and someone put a review up saying that my voice is really annoying.
Oh, and no.
I'm like, wow, if someone took the time to come on this, then like, I've arrived. Like, this is major.
That's how I feel. Like, if you're taking the time to actually say something, I've like struck enough of a nerve that you want to come back and learn more. I don't know. That's how I take it.
I wonder if you're listening to me right now.
Yeah.
So let's go way back in time, career journey. I believe it really starts when we start daydreaming as little kids. Like, what do we want to be when we grow up? So, Daniela, let's start with you. You're 10 years old. What do you want to be?
A lawyer. Very different than what I do now. But I actually drew myself in fourth or fifth grade. Power red suit. Don't ask me why.
Stop.
But I drew myself in like a red suit. And for some reason, a top hat. I don't know why. And it was one of those things where you had to draw, and then they took a picture of you in class, and then you would cut your little face out and stick it. So we were like hanging on the wall of the classroom. But I think it's probably because I like to argue and negotiate and, you know, probably in another life. But this career was also, I think, even though I didn't know it, part of my journey. My grandmother actually owned a beauty salon for many, many years. My mother was a true passionate skincare person. She's always taken care of her skin. And so as a little kid, you're watching that, right? You're watching like really powerful women own their business. My mother worked in skincare in different avenues. And so I think subconsciously I was always like mirroring that, you know, and like trying to figure out my own path. So that's how I ended up here.
And when did you, in your mind, walk away from this idea of becoming an attorney?
I think pretty quickly when I realized how much schooling it was, you know. And it's funny, my niece is actually looking to go into law school soon. She's great. But when I look at someone like her, she's a true, like, academic school girl. And I loved school. But for me, it took me a little longer to get there. I didn't know what I wanted to do right out of high school. So I got my aesthetics license first. I said, let me try this first and see. I got my degree much later. But I think that, you know, when you wake up in the morning and you don't feel like you're working, that's the true, like, you've arrived, you've made it, you are passionate, you feel purposeful. So it was a good choice for me, for sure.
So Blair, let's go back in time together. You're 10 years old. What's the dream?
So I actually always wanted to be in fashion, which I guess now with my own, like, stuff that I'm doing on social media is kind of related, but yeah, I don't know. I was always so interested in that. I wish I could remember the website, but I would put together all these different outfits and like the patterns, and I would make my parents come and like watch this show, like a runway show that I put together of all the outfits. So always fashion related.
And when did you put that aside?
Gosh, I mean, I guess I really haven't. It's always kind of been in the back, and I brought it to where I am now. I actually studied fashion at NYU for undergrad. So it's always kind of been there. All my internships were in fashion. And then in 2016, I worked at Saks. I was in their buying office, and I was so intrigued with the cosmetics buyers, which was so new to me and not something that I expected. I thought I would be into all the fashion and the clothes, the shoes. And it was really the cosmetics that caught my eye. So I think that was like the first shift. And then, yeah, I think it must have been a couple months later, I decided to go back to the family business. I realized at that time there was a bit of a white space for not necessarily makeup, but we call it our enhancement category. That's when this was born. light makeup with skincare benefits. So that's when I went back. And I would also say separately, you know, innately, I've always wanted to carry on my father's legacy. I just didn't know how at the time. I didn't realize that the skincare line would become what it is and, you know, this opportunity would come up. So I've actually been able to keep a piece of that and then just merge all of these worlds.
Okay, we have to talk about this. This is a family business, a lot, right?
Yes.
So how old were you when your dad started this line?
So I think officially we went public, or I guess commercial, in, what is it, 2011?
I think 2010 we went
commercial. But I mean, my entire life, you know, I was in his office. I used to answer the phones when I was like 5 years old, and my mom would get so mad.
Oh, what would you say?
I would just say, Dr. Lancer's office, please hold. And I would pass to Susan, who still answers the phones today. So it's so funny. But I always loved being in the office. And, you know, I started using his products when I was probably around 11. I got my first facial. So the products were always there, but I would say commercially was probably about 2011.
Okay. And are there other family members in the business?
So not really. My mom, the Danny Glowing Skin Perfector, is actually named after my mom, which is adorable. Yes, she doesn't wear foundation. So my dad wanted a product for her, which is adorable. So she comes in from time to time on social media, but otherwise, just the three of us.
And we just have to ask this question. What is it like to work with your dad?
So I always say it's great because it's very much church and state. Like, he is on the medical side, I'm on the business side, and we have two separate teams, but, you know, we're able to talk every day, put our heads together, make decisions, brainstorm. So I think it's the perfect amount. It's really nice.
So Daniela, you're not a family member.
No.
But you are.
But I feel like,
yeah, you
like
are.
Like I know it's so long.
So as someone who is newer to the brand than the child who grew up in it, how would you describe the brand to your like QVC fans in like six words?
Oh, wow.
To 10, six to 10 words.
I love something the doctor says. So skin intelligent, innovative, scientific, legacy, inspiring, I think is how I would describe the brand. That's what comes first to my mind.
And given you're in LA, do you get to see Dr. Lancer often?
I do. So I'm really lucky. I work in a beautiful office on Rodeo Drive. I'm there about two times a week and then remote and traveling to Philly a lot for QVC, of course. But he's there and we text probably every day also. And it's really special, one, because he's still a practicing dermatologist, which is so rare. And he, you know, like we're saying, family-owned business still. So as you probably know, a lot of brands that start that way usually, you know, sell and they move on. But Doctor and I share a very common love language, right?
So what is that love language?
we speak ingredients. We speak skin science. We speak, you know, adaptogens and reactive oxygen species and, you know, all these fun things that are more, you know, elevated terminology. And it's hard, right? Because in skincare, sure, we can talk marketing and we can kind of fluff things up, but it's a very unique position to be able to really deep dive with someone as brilliant as he is. You know, he's been practicing over 40 years. So
How fun. Very lucky.
Yeah, I'm very lucky.
So I want to stay with you, Daniela. You had your first job as an esthetician. Could you ever have imagined that, like, once you got your degree and became an esthetician, that you can actually have a job like this?
No. And if anybody's out there listening and is in this career, I'll tell you there's a really big dropout rate of the career because a lot of people think, I love skincare so much, but it's very different when you study it. And then it's very different when you go out and you work because truthfully, you might not be making that much money in the beginning and you might just be by yourself in a little spa room. You know, we call it in the industry steaming and creaming. So you're like just steaming and doing facials. But I'm here to tell you that this career has taken me so many places, not just literally. I've been to Australia. I've gotten to go all kinds of places. But it really gives women especially an opportunity to either A, be an entrepreneur, be in your own business, you know, travel, work with huge legacy brands. I mean, you can do marketing. You could do so many things. So I can't believe that the license that I, you know, got so many years ago out of high school is really what I use today. It's really not my degree, if I'm being honest with you. It's what I learned, those basic foundational skills.
I love how much respect estheticians get now, right? How much they're valued. You know, we can thank social media for that. That's one good thing that happens on social media, that your voice is so important. Mm-hmm. And it's very, very hard to navigate skincare choices when you're on your own. Like, you really do need a professional, especially if you're suffering with something that's, you know, really you don't understand, right? And there's a lot of skin conditions that, like, people misdiagnose, or they just assume mm-hmm. it's fine. So having a professional, whether a derm or an esti, by your side is so incredible. And you just touch so many people's lives that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think more and more people want the expert in the room. You know, it's really great to have so many people on social that can, quote unquote, influence mm-hmm. you to make a purchase, really. However, it's very different. If you were to sit down with Dr. Lancer in his office, he's going to ask you questions that you wouldn't even think are related to your skin. Blair, right. You know this, yeah. right? So your background, where are your parents from? Where are your grandparents from? Where do you live? You know, tell me about what you eat. Tell me how you sleep. Da, da, da. It goes on and on. And so when you approach it from that lens, it's very tailored and customized and personalized. And so he's able to put together a great regimen. And that's part of what we also talk to the consumer about.
Totally.
So Blair, let's go back to you. When did you decide to join the business and why?
So officially in 2016. So like I said, I had been working in fashion for a while on my internships. And then it must have been, I think, the summer before my senior year at NYU, I started working at Saks. And then that led to a full-time position. And again, I won't repeat myself, but it was that exciting moment with the cosmetics buyers. I went back, and then it must have been about 2018 I decided to go to business school, because I figured, you know, I was walking into this business and I could very easily learn the job on the job, but I wanted to be able to bring something back with me and make some changes. So I did that, graduated in 2019, and then that's when I was really full-time, haven't left yet. Can't believe it's been so long.
Don't say yeah.
Never. But I mean, like, I had left for school and then come back. So anyway. So yeah, it's been quite a while now. Lots of different roles.
So let's dig into the Power Duos theme. So you work together closely.
Yes.
And obviously part of, like, a great work environment is who you're working with. And when you like the people you mm-hmm. work with, it's amazing. When you don't like the people you work with, it's torture, right?
Yes.
So let's talk about the dynamic and how you create success for each other, and, you know, how you help each other get to your goals. So Blair, when you think about talking with Danielle, let's say there's a challenge in the business, I don't know, it could be supply chain or something, like what is it that you're looking for from Daniela? And it doesn't have to be, it could be a soft skill, it doesn't even have to be a hard skill.
100%. We actually spoke about this yesterday. It's trust and transparency. That's it. I mean, nothing else matters to me as long as I really, really trust my team, and I assume vice versa. But I think that's definitely the biggest one. I don't like when things pop up. I just like transparency from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. But, Daniela, what about you? What comes to mind when you think about collaborating with Blair?
I just always encourage, I think, her to just, like, go for it. You know, I think it can be hard. If I think about her position, if I was in between me and my dad mm-hmm. and, you know, carrying on a legacy, that's a lot of pressure and weight, right? But I encourage Blair to just, like, listen to her own, you know, feeling and internal kind of gut check and to do what she also thinks is best. She's been a daughter to him for a long time. So she knows, of course, like, his point of view, but I think it's important for Blair to have her voice and carrying the brand forward. So I hope I do that for you anyway.
You do. And I will say, separate of that, my parents, especially my dad, you know, in a business respect, he is so open to it. Whenever I have an idea, he sits there, he listens, he wants me to move forward and try whatever I want. He always gives me the opportunity. He doesn't really shoot anything down. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I would say the same for you as well. I mean, they're very close.
Yeah.
He really encourages us to, like, step outside the box. And if things don't work out, it was worth the risk.
Right.
We always learn something. So
Danielle, I'm hearing something in your speaking about Blair, and I'm wondering if we have something in common, Blair. I have a tendency to, like, have a big idea and then be like, no, I shouldn't do that. Or, like, feel like, is it my place? Or, like, is it the right time? Do you find yourself second guessing yourself?
A little bit, but I think the thing for me, and we also talked about this, I'm really great with ideas, but I need to be pushed sometimes to execute. Like, even starting my own social channels, I don't know how long I've been thinking about that. I think you definitely helped push me. I finally did it. And it's really helped the brands a lot. So I'm so glad I did. But I don't know how much longer it would have taken.
And so, last night I was like, we need to see you more. We need to see you more.
So Daniela, like when you notice like your antenna goes up, like Blair might be taking too long a pause or not believing that this is a value. Like what is it that you notice and how do you actually help push her?
I think in past conversations, and something comes to mind, like we were thinking about something as simple as like color for packaging, right? So we did the body line, and at the time, our CEO wanted it to be one thing, and I knew Blair did not like that color, and she was at the office in LA.
But you knew it because she said it, or you knew it because you just know her?
I think both.
I think both. Yeah. I think she said it, and then I think like when she was in the office in LA, she kept looking at it, and she wouldn't say it, but I just knew her body language. Right? Like I was like, I know she just doesn't like this. So I said, B, like, what color do you want this to be? Like, whatever, what color? And she was really like this color. And I said, okay, you're the boss. Like, just remember that, you know? I think sometimes, again, I think if I was with my dad, and it's not even about him, because like you said, he's so open, but
I think it's me because I always think my last name is Lancer. Because of that, I don't like to overstep.
Right.
I don't want to like have that much authority where I'm making other people think, you know, I think I'm more important than they are my dad is or whoever. So that's a part of it for sure.
Yeah.
That's a really hard dynamic. Right? Because you have the family element in your name, but then you also have been in the business just as long as your dad has. Obviously, you're not a dermatologist, but like you watched it.
Totally.
And it's in your, you know, pores and you sweat it, right? And you cry it in your tears and you laugh it and your smile. So there is value in that.
Definitely. Right?
So this is a good transition to leadership style, right? And you have this role, the complexity is what we just talked about.
Yeah.
How do you want to see yourself as a leader?
I would say my biggest strength, and you can tell me your thoughts, but as a leader, I am not a micromanager. I think I always encourage my team to step up, tell me what they're thinking. If something's wrong, tell me. If you have an idea, tell me. And I let them run with it. I guess in the same way, that's how my dad is with me. He gives me that opportunity. So I try to make my team feel the same way. I don't think it's great to be somebody who's not necessarily controlling, but like micromanaging every step of the team, because then you never get anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's how I think I am, but.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
So Blair, let's talk about this a little further, and Daniela, you can weigh in on this. There's this word micromanaging, I think everyone has a different definition of it, maybe, because I've been in some situations where someone would call it micromanaging, and I would just call it managing, right? Something's going sideways. I don't want my team to suffer, waste time, get frustrated. If I can step in and give like, you know, 16 words or like point to something, right? So what is the line?
Well, I think mentoring is one thing. And separately, it's, you know, if things are not going well, that's a bigger, you know, discussion. But I think step by step, like I don't need to tell someone, please do this. And then an hour later, have you done it? 2 hours later, have you done it? You know, because there are people like that. I've worked with people like that. It's more so, okay, I'm giving you this task. Let's touch base in 2 days. Send me an update once you have one. Mm-hmm. I'm not constantly following up and like making them question how I feel about them in terms of their work.
Right.
So I think that's my line.
Daniela, have you ever worked for a micromanager?
Oh, yes. Unfortunately. You know, I think that to Blair's point, right, there's the manager that sometimes is like, oh, you're 2 minutes late. Like you need to, you know, it's, I mean, we're people, we're human and things happen. What I appreciate in a leadership style, and I hope that I can take those skills as I lead teams or future teams, is I love when someone can delegate work to me. I like when someone can hold me accountable. I like when someone can teach me something I don't know. I have to respect also when someone is a true expert in my arena. I find it difficult to respect someone that's telling me something to do that they know nothing about. That I have an issue with. But I think there's always an opportunity to learn, and I'm very open to that. And I like feedback. Feedback is really important in leadership style too, because sometimes you might think you're just hitting the home runs and then, you know, the numbers might not be matching or those KPIs might not be there, or maybe there's a way to do it better. So I like that style of leadership, but I have been micromanaged and it's not fun.
This is a great transition then to my next question, which is about how you handle stress, right? So you just mentioned like the, what if the numbers are not adding up the way you want them to? This is a hard industry, right? There's, you know, a zillion competitors, a lot of misinformation. It's really expensive to get to that customer right now to advertise. So in your role and you're on camera, right? You're flying back and forth. What are your techniques for managing stress at the job?
I always talk to my girlfriends about this. I think like, we remind each other to carve out space to just be alone. I'm a mom too. I'm a wife. I have a dog. I have all the things. I do travel a lot. But I carve time. I've kind of become a lone wolf actually. And I like that. I need to be by myself and I need to just take a moment and take it in. Like even this morning being in my hotel, watching like the whole entire city outside, like I just stood there for a little bit and appreciated where I was and what I get to do and how wonderful life really is, instead of focusing on all the things that don't, you know, go right or whatever. And at work, I think I manage stress by actually asking a lot of questions. So I ask our team, like, why isn't this working? Or my teammates, like, I might not know much about paid ads, let's say. That's not my arena. But, like, Chelsea, tell me more about that. Or, like, you know, Carolyn, she'll probably be hearing, of course. And, like, you know, what are you doing in brand marketing? And, like, why? Like, what can we do better for that event? Or what can we do better here? So understanding helps me manage my stress better instead of panicking and thinking, oh, my God, it's just all falling apart.
Blair, what are your techniques?
I would say somewhat similar, but for me, I just have to stop. Like if I'm feeling really overwhelmed, I have to just put my phone away, not talk to anyone, and just sit there for like 5 minutes, take a couple deep breaths, and just like release. I think that when I keep going and going, to your point, it just like snowballs and I keep getting more anxious and stressed. Separately, I mean, even today I walked here, I have to get outside and walk.
Yeah, you do.
I need the fresh air and I just need to walk, whether it's a podcast or music, sometimes silence, but that makes such a big difference to me.
So I'm hearing that both of you seek like a little alone time when you're stressed.
Yes.
So can I share an anecdote I learned in my therapy?
Yeah.
So my therapist was talking about the difference between an extrovert and an introvert. Mm-hmm. And I didn't understand what those terms mean. But according to her, it means like, how do you fill up your tank? An introvert fills up their tank, like their, you know, emotional energy tank, by having that quiet time alone. An extrovert fills up their tank by being around people. So I never heard this before, and it was so like mind-bending to me, because I'm very chatty, but I need to be alone. That door needs to be shut. I need to be under the covers watching 15 minutes of The Real Housewives after work, like a day of, on the phone. Like that's how I refill my tank. Like leave me alone. And then my husband, who wouldn't just stand online at CVS and make friends, he actually fills up his tank by like chatting with people, right? It really kind of did a mind-bending thing for me. So Blair, does this resonate with you at all?
No, I was going to say I'm very surprised because I'm the opposite. I feel like when I'm very stressed or overwhelmed, I just need like a couple minutes and then I pick back up. Mm-hmm. I'm very social and I consider myself to be very extroverted because I'm always talking to people. If I'm feeling down or sad or lonely, whatever it is, I'm on the phone all the time. I'm texting. I'm sending like 2-hour long voice notes. My friends make fun of me for it.
So connection for you fills your tank.
Yeah, which is interesting. But I think it's just when I'm very stressed, I think I need a second to think about, I don't know if it's, I'm trying to think about what is actually stressing me versus like what I'm, I guess, catastrophizing, if that's the right like therapeutic word. That's what I'm doing in my head. And then I'm like, okay, wait, I'm freaking out about something that hasn't even happened yet. So let's just calm down and then I start fresh. But I'm very much an extrovert. So
I'm so proud of you for your awareness of the catastrophizing
route. I do that
because
a lot.
Like for people who do not have the self-awareness, it can be really destructive and a waste of time. And you're seeing it. That's a big
deal.
Totally.
I'm working on that and I'm very much working on, I'm such a black and white person. I'm like trying to get to the gray.
Everything is gray, Blair.
Yeah, I know. I'm like very polarizing, very yes, no, and I'm working on it. But
Daniela, does this introvert, extrovert thing resonate with you at all?
Yeah, but I'm actually sitting here thinking, can you be both?
I don't know.
I don't know.
My therapist later and ask her.
It's, it's weird because if I'm comfortable, you cannot get me to be quiet. Like I'm like the ham of the group and laughing and da da da. I mean, even for a living, I'm on camera. I'm always public like facing in some sort of way.
But I think it's about filling your tank. But like you're like, yeah, you're depleted.
Yeah.
What happens? What do you need to get undepleted?
I have to be by myself. Yeah. I have to retreat, because I think that if I don't, like, I can't refill that energy for anyone else. Like, I have to regroup and quiet down. I don't know. I feel like I'm, yeah. I feel like I was always an extrovert, but maybe I'm like,
right. So
I'm
we're learning.
Maybe
today.
I'm getting older and I'm like, everything annoys me now. I don't know.
Everything annoys me.
I think it's worth Googling or buying a book on this one, because it kind of blew my mind when I thought about it.
Yeah, that's, I got to look into that.
Okay, last topic of this conversation is defining success. So a few years ago, we wrote a book from the podcast called Facing the Seduction of Success, because it's like once you get a little taste of success, right? Like you want more and more and more. At least I did. I want more and more and more. But that means more hours at the computer, more emails to send, and oh, but I love my life outside of work too, right? I don't want to ignore that. So what I learned through putting that book together is everybody defines success differently, and how I thought of it at 19, 20, 22 is so different than how I think of it now. So, Blair, we can start with you. Just, you know, launch new packaging. You're deep into the world of Lancer skincare. How do you personally define success?
I guess, well, two separate versions of that. So first, speaking about the packaging. So success in those terms, I would say community feedback. That's big for us. I would even say some of the changes we made specifically to the gravity and like the body line, a lot of that came from consumer feedback that we implemented, and you know, all of it has been received really well. So that's that. But for myself, you know, you get a lot of praise when you're on a podcast or you have an article written about you, whatever it may be. And I'm fortunate that like my team will always say really nice things. My parents are always so supportive, my friends, but sometimes you just feel it within yourself. And I know it's so cliche to say that, but there are little ones, like you always feel a little bit proud of yourself in certain ways, or you feel success. But every so often, like I just had an article written about me in a publication that I really admire, and that one just hit differently. So I think it's like a feeling that you get on your own.
Yeah. Daniela, how do you define success?
I think in terms of work, for me, it's been really understanding that I can't control it all, but when I feel really good about my projects and I know that I've put my heart and my best foot forward and, you know, my passion and my knowledge into a project, that's successful for me, right? Like I can't master everything and I can't affect the entire business, but at least in my area, I want the best to be out. So that's really, you know, for me at work in that term of success. And personally, I think I've been successful, A, because I have a job that doesn't feel like a job. I found something that I love, and every day I remind myself how cool it is that I do what I do. And I remind myself not to complain because I can go down that rabbit hole. And I'm successful because I have a great family and, you know, they also just watch me in wonder. And that feels like, okay, mommy, she got like, she figured it out and she's happy, you know, and I think that's cool. Yeah.
So Lancer contributed to our gift bag today. So Daniela, tell us what's in there.
Oh my goodness. Okay, this product.
I wanted you to do it because I want the whole
thing right into the skincare mode.
Great at this. Come on, Daniela.
So I am so proud of this product. In the last couple of years, I started moving into product development with Blair, which is so amazing. And in a small brand, to get the opportunity to do that is special, because in a big, big brand, there's a true dedicated NPD person. But because I work so closely with them, you know, I think they entrust in my kind of feedback of a product as well. So in the bag, it's Gravity Dark Spot Correcting Serum. It's our brand new launch. It just came out on the 22nd. This has exosomes. So you know exosomes, probably really big in skincare. They help signal your cells and help get the ingredients that are partnered in the formula to really communicate with those cells and give that benefit. So alpha arbutin, you have nonapeptide 1. I'm really geeking out here.
I love it.
And alpha arbutin at 2%. It's safe for everybody, even if you're expecting or nursing. But this product's all about hyperpigmentation. So uneven skin tone, whether it's hormonal, melasma, post-breakout, sun-induced, any type of melasma, this is a beautiful serum. It behaves so much like a retinol without the irritation, though, and no need for invasive treatments.
And I will add, I know that was amazing. One of the first products we ever came out with, again, 2011, give or take, was the Fade Serum. Mm-hmm. And it was one of our best sellers. It did really well. We decided to reformulate, but we were waiting for the right time, the right ingredients, and here we are. Oh, so people are really happy to have it back.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that with our fans. Okay, now we're going to move to the last phase of our show, which is a game. We're calling this Hyperpigmentation or Hype. Okay, so I'm going to read out skincare statements that we've all seen online or heard from friends. Some of them are totally legit. Some of them are just pure hype. So what I need from you
is
is it hyperpigmentation, meaning it's real, backed by science, or is it hype, meaning fake, right? So you'll just shout out hyperpigmentation or hype. And then, of course, since you're experts, we'd love to hear your reasoning. So you ready to play? Hyperpigmentation, yes. If it's fake. No, hyperpigmentation if it's real. Hype if it's fake.
Okay.
Question number one. Hyperpigmentation is caused only by sun exposure.
Fake.
I was going to say fake as well. Yeah.
Okay, so tell me, Daniela, why is this hype?
Okay, so you can have hyperpigmentation because of the sun, but it can also even be trauma related. So think of like you fell down, you scraped your knee, it bleeds, it heals. It turns red first because first comes inflammation, and then the second pathway is hyperpigmentation. So you end up with that like brown scar or red scar sometimes. So that's fake. It could be trauma. It can be post-inflammatory from a breakout. It can be sun. It could be hormonal. Mm-hmm. So, fake.
Question two. Darker skin tones are more prone to hyperpigmentation. Is this hyperpigmentation or hype?
Hype. Darker skin tones might pigment differently. So, you might have a little bit of a darker or deeper noticeable, spot. But no, we all pigment.
Yeah. Okay. Next question. Consistency matters more than expensive products. Is this hyperpigmentation or hype?
True, true.
Okay, tell me why, Blair.
I mean, you can have the best product ever, but if you're not using it, same with diet, same with exercise. It's any aspect, sleep, lack of stress, if you try.
How many of us have things on the shelf in the bathroom that like we were excited to buy and then we just stopped using? Yes.
Oh, not me. I'm crazy. I never saw.
You know what? Sometimes it's just like hard for me to incorporate new things into a routine. And I find that like I'll need like a few weeks to mentally prepare myself for starting something new.
That's how I am with supplements. I just started a couple new ones and they've been sitting there for like a month, but now I'm consistent.
Right. So I'm the same way with supplements or just any sort of change. Like I'll like have that meeting with the doctor or whoever and I'll like write it all down. And then I'll know that like I can't just jump into this tomorrow. Like I have to like put it on the calendar for a week or two away and then go back and study the notes and think about mentally, like, how am I going
to? You are the ideal patient, actually, doctor would say. I actually like that a lot. Sorry to interrupt you, but that's ideal. It's when we get too excited and we buy all the things and then we get and we go home and then we try all the things and then we're like, what? This is too much.
Yeah.
If you're stopping and you're thinking, you're being really conscious about your purchase, the why, like you've thought about why do you need this? Mm-hmm. You're thinking like, I need to make sure I'm prepared to start this program. So you're like the ideal customer,
For the supplements, I've also had to figure out like where in the kitchen do they go, right? No, I'm serious. Like, are they liquid supplements that have to go into a smoothie or a glass of water? Or are they, things that you swallow? And like just figuring out the mechanics of how that's going to fit into my life in a busy morning or at night. Like, okay, if I have nighttime supplements, where are they going to be in the kitchen so that I actually remember to take them? Like, all of this. It's when you have a busy, full life, it's hard to incorporate new things.
I had a different issue. I ended up just asking ChatGPT because I had so many. I didn't know which ones I could take when, with food, without food, with my thyroid medicine, with like, that was my bigger issue.
Yeah.
So I started sprinkling them in, but now I'm thinking I'm okay.
Okay, let's do one more question of our game. Picking an acne increases the risk of dark spots. Is this hyperpigmentation or hype?
Hyperpigmentation.
Tell me why, Daniela.
Because you're causing trauma to the skin. And not only are you causing trauma by poking and picking, you're also spreading bacteria. So now some of your neighboring follicles will end up with some of that acne bacteria. So don't pick.
know. I like to
Everybody does. I know. I'm like, don't pick. Pick your face. This is funny. This is also me telling Dr. Lancer at the office, like, don't forget you're going to Vegas. Don't forget your sunscreen. Yeah. And he looks at me like, no. But in all seriousness, you know, yeah, causes trauma. So hyperpigmentation.
Picking's a real problem. There's like toys on the market for like pickers, right? Like things to do with your fingers to give you that picking satisfaction that's not on your face.
I just remember my dad. I'm like, oh God, he'll
no, and leave upset. That to a professional. Go to an esthetician, you know, or a dermatologist, mm-hmm. because the problem is too, when you're picking, you're going to laser focus on this area. You're going to keep going. You're going to keep going. You're going to cause not only the hyperpigmentation, but you can scar, especially if you're using a tool. I mean, people can keloid, or maybe your skin type shouldn't be using that particular modality being the tool. Mm-hmm. No. Go to a pro.
Well, thank you for playing. That was a super fun game. And thank you for being on the show. This is amazing.
This is great. This is so fun. Thank you so much. Oh, yay.
Thanks for listening to Where Brains Meet Beauty with Jodi Katz. Tune in again for more authentic conversations with beauty leaders.